I want to speak to you today on a subject I've never preached on in my life. Matter of fact, I don't know if I've ever even thought of this terminology before, but the independence of God. God is independent. God is strong in Himself. He does not need you. He does not need me. God has chosen me, and God has chosen you, but He doesn't need us. We need to have that differentiation in our soul. God is independent. He's a great God. He's a wonderful God. Notice verse number, verse number 1. And if you'd stand with me this morning, as we read the Scripture, He says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, Thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before Thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Notice that little word there, Selah. A word that simply means amen. Think seriously about this. Think seriously about this. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. So, Lord, in prayer, Father, thank You this morning. We have Your Word. We pray today that we might understand more about You. Oh, God, may we be drawn into Your presence, realization of how great that presence is. Oh, God, today, may we not just see You as another person. May we not see You as another God, but the God of all. Bless work in us. I do pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. I believe today that there's a real need for men to see the holiness of God. It is common for we who stand in pulpits to preach against sin, but I believe there is one thing that we have often forgotten, and that is that God, His very presence, His very being, reveals sin to man, especially by His holiness. We'll stop and think about that for a moment. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You say, but preacher, that says the law of God. Yes, and let's understand something about the law of God. It says what we are not to do, but the law of God also shows us who God is. It is a revelation of the holiness of the One who proclaimed it to us. If we were wise, we would see that the Old Testament emphasizes the holiness of God. That is emphasized often in the fact that He has wrath against the sin of mankind. While the New Testament, we find, basically emphasizes the grace of God expressed in His love. For God so loved, He gave. And certainly His only begotten Son. Martin Luther understood this. Martin Luther wrote a treatise. It was called Law and Grace. It was the means whereby I got saved. And in that, he is talking about how the law of God is showing forth who God is. and showing forth that as God is pictured as holy, you and I are seen as very unholy. Why is it men and women today do not see their sin and recognize it? What is the problem? Because they have a very poor concept of who God is. Our society does not see Him as a holy God. They do not see Him as one who is wrathful against sin. They have not this concept in their minds. And yet as we look to Scripture, we find that when men had that, they fell to their knees before a holy, righteous God. In the book of Isaiah, to which I often reflect, it says, in the days of King Uzziah, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Isaiah, in that vision, saw the beauty of God. And when you get down to verse number 5, it says, Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He sees what He is, not based upon God saying this is wrong, but simply based upon He saw God. He had a revelation of the holiness and the majesty of God. Think about Moses. He's on the backside of the desert. He's basically bored to death taking care of sheep when a bush begins to burn. And as that bush is burning, it is not consumed, and he goes to behold that bush. And God speaks to him, and He says, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. He is saying to Moses, I am here, and where you are at is holy ground, because I am a holy God. Put your shoes off and recognize who I am. It is only at that point, after that is mentioned, that God reveals that He has come to be the Savior of Israel. But he must first see who God is. I believe the psalmist of our text understands this concept very vividly. And as he understands this concept and who he is, he is asking God to make it even deeper within him. He says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What it is that I may know how frail I am. There is nothing that will cause us to see our frailty than to see the majesty of God. There is nothing that will bring us into realization of how finite we are, as it states in verse number 5, as the eternity of God. With those thoughts in mind, let's go back to the year 1776. There was a group of men who had gathered together. They had felt the oppression of King George and the English and the nation of England. The great British Empire was trying to not only go into many parts of the world, but to bring back the wealth of those places. And the taxation had become more than they could endure. And these men gathered together, and as they gathered together, they decided to pack their lives one with another, and they wrote a document that we call the Declaration of Independence. And as they wrote that document, they were declaring to King George and to England, we are making ourselves free from you. You no longer are going to have dominance over us. It's not going to be there. Rather, they placed their dependence upon God. Rather than a despot who tyrannically ruled his kingdom for his own benefit. But in the last few decades, we have been rewriting our Declaration of Independence from England. We have been rewriting our Declaration of Independence from the rest of the world. And we have been declaring we are independent of God. We have said as a nation, no longer do we want Him. No longer do we want to place our trust in a God. But we want to put it back into the hands of government. Our elections today are not about the safety of people from those who would seek to rule over us. But our elections today are about who do we want to rule over us. Our elections today are not about protection from enemies, but wanting our government to create jobs for us and to give us money and prosperity in our pockets. Why? Because we've declared our independence from God. I want us to think about our independence in relationship to God's independence. For you and I today, we might say, oh, we are an independent people. We are free to do what we want. But I ask you, are you really? For we find that we are a people who are very dependent upon one another. This last summer, as we sat in our homes in the west end of Council Bluffs, we found ourselves very dependent upon a group of men who walked daily along the dikes up here, the levees, that they might find any breaches that are therein, that they might be able to patch those. And we depended upon those people to come and to fill them with dirt or whatever it might be, that we might be able to stay in our homes. We were very dependent. We're dependent upon people to come to our rescue when our furnace quits or when the fire begins to break out in our homes or when somebody comes knocking or not knocking at our door but breaking into our homes. We're dependent. We're dependent as a church upon each other. We're dependent upon others as we come together to give us strength and to say things that might be helpful and a blessing to us, and yea, even to correct us when we're wrong. We're dependent upon one another. But may I tell you today, we have a God who is independent. He doesn't need anything that He has ever made. God doesn't need it. There are lots of things that He's made that I need. Not too long after we dismiss from this auditorium, I will go to my house and there will be food placed upon my table. I am dependent upon food to take me from one moment to the next. By the way, I don't live to eat, I eat to live. There be a difference. And that food is something that is needed in my body. I need that. I cannot survive without it. I need clothes upon my back, for we find in this kind of weather, though it's been fairly nice this winter, amen, it would not be helpful for me to walk out there without any clothes. I would freeze in moments. I need protection from the elements, not only with clothing, but with shelter. It is a need that is in my life. They're very basic needs, but they must be there. I need the water that flows down that Missouri River. For I have thirst. There are needs. I depend upon this land of ours, this world of ours. I depend upon people. I need people in my life. There are some who say, oh, I could go and live in a cabin all by myself. Good luck, I couldn't. I would like somebody there with me. We need each other. He doesn't need man, but we need Him. Though we profess ourselves to be independent, we are nothing of the kind. But oh, we have a God who is independent. God doesn't need His creation. But may I say to you this morning, creation needs God. It needs Him for its very existence. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But God said, whatsoever He pleased, that He did in heaven and earth, in the seas and in all deep places. He said, I can do what I want. I don't need it. I can do what I want in it, but I do not need it. Creation is dependent upon God for not only its existence, but its very, let me use this word, extension. Interesting verse you find in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 17. It says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That's an interesting word. That word consist means to be held together. Let me ask you this morning, how many know what an atom is? A-T-O-M. An atom. I see a lot of hands raised, but I doubt if we really do. How many have ever seen an atom? You're looking at a whole bunch of them right here. But we don't know how to pick them out singly. We find that substance is made up of atoms. And if you remember your science courses, you remember that atoms have three basic things within them. There's the atom in the middle of it, their nucleus. Simply means it's in the middle. Surrounding that nucleus are these things that jump around. They're called electrons. Aren't you excited to learn this? Some of you flunked this course and you would just rather we not go back through it. But we're going to take a little science this morning. In that nucleus, we find there are neutrons and protons. Now, there's something interesting about these. They all have their magnetic fields that will pull them together. But scientists have looked and they've tried to figure out how is it that neutrons especially can stay in the nucleus. Because there are forces that are greater that would simply pull it apart. There are forces that would cause it to basically explode. By the way, man discovered how to do that. And we call it an atom bomb. And the destruction that can bring is horrendous. But we have our non-God-fearing scientists who have looked at this and they have come up with something because they have no idea what is holding this together. And they have come up with this and they have named the force that is holding it together the strong force. Aren't you excited? Let me declare to you what that strong force is. It's God. By Him, all things what? Consist. What's that mean? Held together. We are literally being held together upon this planet and this universe by a God who cares about us. Though He can be independent, He has chosen to hold it all together. That is His choice. God doesn't need His creation, but it needs Him. God does not need man.